Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rumors versus Facts, the Georgia recruiting show, where we try to wade through all the garbage out there and actually come up with some real hardcore news and nuggets and notes for you so that you have something that you can say, hey, I'm hearing this on Twitter. I see this BS on Facebook. But there's a lot of recruiting rumors out there. Let's get you some facts. Let's get you some actual hard data that you can use. And speaking of good stuff that you can use, I want to mention our friends at the Rogue Shop. Rogue Shop is a sponsor of Rumors versus Facts. They actually are a huge sponsor of our show and of our site, and we appreciate them. Basically, this is a great dispensary, Oregon, run by a former football player and a former member of the military. His wife right now is online. If you want to go to therogueshop.com, she will answer your questions. Charmaine's got it for you. They have Delta 8 gummies, Delta 9 gummies, tinctures, lotions, all sorts of great things. And if you use promo code BULLDOGS10, BULLDOGS10, you will get 10% off any order you have out there. They have the Delta 9 chocolate gummies, the watermelon, blue raspberry, or mango gummies. They have hard bites. They have little nerds on them. They have gluten-free. They have everything at Rogue Shop. Check them out when you get a chance. I'm sure you will love it as much as we do. So, guys, give me your thoughts overall on how this weekend went. This was the Georgia scavenger hunt weekend. And this is it's a big damn deal. Let's call it what it is. This is the weekend that some kids silently commit, the weekend that some kids move towards committing. Some kids don't get invited and realize, hey, I'm not in their priority list. So this is a movement day, movement weekend for Georgia recruiting. So kind of give me your overall thoughts on how it went. And maybe what your takeaway is on Monday evening.
Yeah, I think this weekend, this year's version of the weekend, I think is more solidifying leads for guys they might have already led for. In my opinion, I mean, you look at the unofficial receiver visitors they had, Travis Smith and C.J. Wiley. You look at Zayden Walker, Christian Garrett, who you mentioned, Rowdy. Trying to think. Who else? Those guys off the top, you know, Isaiah Gibson is a guy who maybe they didn't necessarily lead for, but they improved their position with. So I think it's more of a, not as much of a coming out of nowhere or making huge leaps for guys as much as it is solidifying your position at the top for a lot of these guys. And I think they did that this weekend. It's and a side note, a lot of these guys who were in town this weekend are going to be back for official visits, but especially that first official visit weekend in 2 weeks. So getting guys on campus back-to-back for huge weekends that close together is always noteworthy too. So, yeah, I think it's more of a reestablishing where you're at with a lot of these guys, and I think they did a good job.
All right, before the next guy pops up, I do want to mention that Jed had his Saturday night notes, then his Sunday night opinions. And if you're a member of the vault at UGASports.com, there were a ton of insights and updates that Jeb was a one-man army putting out updates this weekend, and we appreciate everything he did. So you have to be a member of the vault if you want to read it. But also our man Trent this morning put out a list of news and notes. And Trent, I know it's tempting to give away all your information, but it's behind a paywall for a reason. It's only 27 minutes a day, but give us what you can without putting us out of business.
Yeah, I think if you've listened to us over the course of the last couple months, we felt like Georgia was in a good position at the wide receiver for the in-state duo of Smith and Wiley. And I think Georgia, you know, after this weekend, I think they did nothing to hurt them chances. I would even say Georgia feels probably a little bit better about their chances coming out of the weekend to be able to land both of those guys. Then you got guys like Zayden Walker that Georgia feels good about, Jed touching on guys that the staff has felt good about and kind of just reaffirming that, their status with those particular guys. But then you had guys like David Sanders, who's kind of been back and forth and a pair of wide receivers from California who are on official visits, trying to nail down who's going to be that third or fourth receiver in this class. That will be interesting because I think there's a slew of guys just in a position to take that spot. And I think it'll ultimately come down to what is Georgia's, board look like at that position? I mean, who's ahead of who? What are they prioritizing for that that receiver position? Because you've seen them kind of go after the bigger targets in this class, and you know, I think you know at least one of those are slot type guys. And what is Georgia you know looking for as that you know that extra receiver in this class? So I think it did good of you know solidifying where Georgia's at with some guys, and also maybe pushing the needle a little further and getting Georgia back in the mix for a couple other guys.
I'll bank off that. I talked to two of the kids over there this weekend so far, and yeah, pushing the needle is a good you know reference, just because look at a guy like I talked to Zaire Addison. I don't want to give away the full notes that I'm going to put on the board tonight, but you have this kid from Florida who George is highly after. Stacy Searles just went to go see him, I think maybe 2 weeks ago. He's only been to Athens one time. I asked him a little bit more just about the scavenger hunt itself, and he was like, dude, we got to go like all over campus. We went all over, you know, facility, and he doesn't really, you know, he didn't really care much about, you know, seeing all that. He wanted to spend time with the coaches, and he spent a lot of time with Kirby and with Stacy Searles, and it's about building that relationship. And, you know, you look at a guy like that who's got, you know, offers from all over the place. You know, that's a good thing to get those kind of kids from out of state, especially the Bell kid too, wide receiver out of California, who don't get to, you know, come and, you know, spend as much time as, you know, a David Sanders that lives in North Carolina or a Mason Short commit that lives, you know, 2 hours down the road. So this was a good chance for them to, you know, kind of develop those relationships with some of these kids, especially the out-of-state ones.
I got to ask you guys about the scavenger hunt itself. You told me, hey, we're going on a scavenger hunt. I feel like, no, man, this isn't for me, but it has been effective as hell. And you guys put up a social media reaction thing. These kids love it. This is absolute blast. Why does it work? What is effective about it? Why are these kids year after year, George, think this is a effective tool? Kids get into it. It's not a silly, you know, party game. These kids are competing, and the coaches are into it, and it works. Why?
Well, I think you mentioned the competitive. Basically, it's different, and I think that's why it works, because so many of these visits are – okay, you show up and you watch a game, or let's just take the spring. You show up, you watch a spring practice for 2 hours, you go break down the film, maybe eat dinner, like all these visits kind of run together. So then the spring one, or the scavenger hunt one, excuse me, it's you're hanging out with the coaches, but also it's competitive, but it's also not football. You get to hang out with them just as real people a little bit. And you know, talking to some different guys, you know, Brock Harris at 2026 that in was like, man, Coach Hartley was pissed. He was cussing guys out because we didn't get up an elevator in time. Travis Smith was telling me they got the flip in the gymnastics foam pit or whatever. And it's bonding with the coaches, but also bonding in a way that's not watching film, that's not talking about how your scheme fit. There is some of that. There's scheme fit talk and that stuff, especially for the guys who aren't committed or maybe they're trying to lock down, but it's a different thing. And Lance, you made a good point with Addison not having been on campus a lot. It's also can serve as a fun version of a campus tour for these guys, because you've got to go all over campus to do the various activities. So it's different, it's fun, and I think it sounds so simple, but I think that's why it works. It's such a unique experience. It sticks out. It sticks out in these guys' minds, and it also gives them chances to see different sides of coaches that you don't get to see when you go to a practice or a game.
Yeah, I think it'd be more fun. Or maybe it's been updated. Like, hey, go find the giant stacks of $100 bills. You know, go find the keys to the new Audi. With NIL, you could make this a much more interesting.
That's an official visit. That's an official visit.
Speaking of official visitors, I think we need to touch on the biggest name that was in town over the weekend, David Sanders, the number two player in the nation, 5-star, number one offensive tackle, number one in the state of North Carolina, just an absolute monster. He If you don't, people that don't follow recruiting, they know who David Sanders is because he's just, you don't have to be a genius to know that, that is the guy. So give me your thoughts on David Sanders real quick.
I mean, I think what it looked like Georgia lean coming into the spring, kind of, you know, started drifting towards Clemson a bit. And I think that's kind of went slightly away from Clemson. I think Tennessee's gained some steam, Ohio State's in it. But I think getting him back on campus this past weekend kind of made him realize what he liked about Georgia in the first place, why Georgia was kind of the perceived leader coming into the spring. And I think that's the thing Georgia does is it just continues to get these kids on campus, continues to build the relationships with not only the prospect, but the families. I think the families, you know, Kirby does a good job with the families along with the rest of the staff. And I think that's what Georgia has to do in this situation. I'm not going to say Georgia necessarily leads coming out of this visit, but I think Georgia is in a good spot coming out of this visit. You know, being able to get him and his family back on campus, still holding that official visit in a couple weeks, and I think it's going to be come down to these official visits. I think it's very close between two or three teams, but I think you know, Georgia definitely has a lot in this corner, especially with relationships.
Yeah, and like you said, it's one that's kind of gone back and forth. I mean, it's been Georgia, it's been Clemson, it's been, you know, Tennessee has made a charge. He's been on campus there two or three times this spring, I think, and Ohio State too, and Nebraska. We all know what happens when Georgia targets or commits, go visit Nebraska, what happens after that. So, yeah, I think it's going to be official visits. I mean, it's the Clemson one and then the Georgia one, and then I know it's Tennessee and Ohio State. I don't know the order after that, but it's going to be decided by those, I think. I don't think any team necessarily feels like it's the leader right now, to be honest. I don't know that there is a perceived leader out there, but I think Georgia has set itself up to, I guess, make a move in the summer. I, like you said, I don't think Georgia's necessarily a leader. I don't necessarily think he ends up in Georgia's class, in my opinion. I put that in the opinion thing on the ball yesterday. But Georgia's got a shot. They have put themselves in position to you know, take a swing at it in, I think, 3 weeks. And if you let it let the chips fall where they may after that.
I think the one good thing about having these kids on as official visitors is it's almost like you're getting two official visits in a span of a month. And I know you're not getting the bells and whistles like some official visitors do, but all those guys that come in as unofficial visitors right before, you know, these kids come in as have a full month of June of official visits. It's almost like you're getting two visits here, and I think that's big because the more time you are with these coaches, the more, you know, the relationship, and the more that visit's on your mind. And you know, when you got two of them in your back pocket, I think that's it played a huge role last year with the recruits, and I think it's going to do the same thing this year.
I'm a big advocate is the word for that additional fun visit. You know, when he comes back on campus, be like, hey, you remember how much fun we had during the scavenger hunt? And you got something to talk about, you know, something unrelated, jokes that you may not have elsewhere. I think who was it that said, I want to know who, David Rosenberg says, I can't wait to hear about your thoughts on who Georgia made ground with. Of course, everyone wants to, did you make ground with David Sanders? And I mean, hell, everyone had him predicted that he was going to Georgia. When I talked to him, I thought, now, when I talk to other people in the industry, they have no idea.
Well, if you remember Nate Brazier last year that came on this visit, took official visits all through June, didn't even take the official visit to Georgia. Georgia still landed him because this almost set up like an official visit, and then he took his official visit in September. So, I mean, it's big. It is a big stepping stone to Georgia's recruiting success.
I think you're right. All right. Let's go down the list of the official visitors. So you mentioned official visitors. That could be like one. A lot of these guys who are on official visits will come back and take another one. And earlier, Trent, you mentioned the wide receivers out of California. Let's start with Phillip Bell, class 2025 out of Mission Viejo, California. This is a top kid. Rivals 100 guy, 6 foot, 188 pounds. Any thoughts on how Philip Bell likes his visit? I saw him tweeting out stuff, so I know he seemed to like it, but anybody got some thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I traded a couple messages with him, Lance. I know you did too, but I think something George wanted to emphasize to him is what the offense is really like. He said, yeah, everybody questions Georgia's passing offense. So they pulled up like charts and slideshows about how the passing offense has been one of the best in the country, not just last year, but the years before. There was a big emphasis on basically Georgia's not just a running school, which if I was James Coley or these other guys, I would get so sick of having to make that same recruiting pitch over and over and over again, just because it's hammered by other schools. And, you know, for Philip Bell, a guy, he's from California. I'm sure USC's in his ear. Oregon, maybe. I don't know a ton about his recruitment as far as other schools, to be honest. But when you look at West Coast schools, what are they going to say about Georgia? Oh, you don't want to go to the SEC and be part of a running team and block all the time. You want to be out here where you can catch, you know, you can have 1,400 yards and win a Heisman. So that's the big thing Georgia drove home for him. He is a guy, he's got some family ties to Georgia. They lived in Georgia for a while when he was younger. I don't think I wouldn't call Georgia the leader for him right now, but Georgia's definitely put themselves in the conversation with a good official visit.
This is kind of one that I didn't really know much about until, you know, I traded a couple of messages with him. And, he you talk to a lot of these kids, and like Jed just said, you know, I would get tired if I was James Coley too, but he was very, instinctive in knowing that, you know, Georgia does pass the ball. Hey, Carson Beck threw for X amount of yards last year. And that's good when, you know, recruits pay attention, because a lot of these kids, they don't, you know, they don't really, you know, they watch college football, but, you know, they don't look at the stats. They just kind of, you know, maybe just watch a game or so. But I mean, he seemed to kind of know what he was talking about. And, I think this is one maybe to watch. This isn't a kid that we mentioned last week as, you know, being like a Travis Smith, CJ Wiley, Talon Taylor type. But if Georgia got him on campus, you know, like kind of Trent said, those Cali kids, you know, he can take his visits and come back, and who knows what can happen.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of California wide receivers, let's talk about Marcus Harris. Give me your thoughts on him, Trent. This is a kid you did mention last week amongst all those. We had a lot of wide receiver talk last week. So this was a name that popped up there. He just had his official visit as well. Georgia helped themselves, hurt themselves, status quo with Marcus Harris.
Well, I mean, I think Georgia helped themselves. I wouldn't say I think Georgia put itself in the mix with the top schools to moving forward. I don't think. Any necessary school, stands out. He is looking at schools all across the country. So I don't think, proximity to home or staying close to California is a big deal. A lot of those modern day kids are not, going to stay at home necessarily. He has some connections. Georgia's has connections to the school, with the Nate Frazier coming and being in that school a good bit last year with recruiting a couple of those guys. So I think I heard more about him on the official visit than Philip, coming out of the visit. But if you look at both of these guys' size, they're both, one's 5'11", one's 6 foot. This is what I was referring to. What is Georgia, prioritizing for that last position or one of the last wide receiver spots, and are they going the slot guy? They're going to have a lot of different options. We mentioned Talon Taylor. We mentioned the two wide receivers from California. I think Georgia put itself in position, a good position moving into June, but he does have a lot of official visits set up for June, and we'll see where, things go from after this. But I think, we talk about all the time, it's important Georgia gets this, like this type of prospect back on campus if it is one of their top targets. They have that recruiting weekend in July. They could also try to get him on campus for another unofficial visit in June. I think it's important to get him on campus, one or two more times have a chance here. But we'll see. I think Georgia did put itself in position to be a contender here.
Okay, that's the best you can hope for, because kid is out in California. There's a lot of stops between Santa Ana or Santa Clara and Athens, Georgia. A lot of other places you could go. Some of them are a little bit closer. So I agree with you 100%. That's a guy to get on there. But I do see the theme. Looks like it was a slot receiver weekend, or at least for the official visits. Another official visit. This kid's kind of hard to figure. So let me get y'all's thoughts here. Bo Jackson. What's up with him?
Well, it's from Cleveland. Number six running back in the country. And Georgia offered him, I want to say, in January or February. So kind of relatively late entrant to his recruitment, I guess. But Georgia's been in it for a while. He visited, I'm sure it was for a spring practice. And Georgia has kind of been in it a lot, but you don't necessarily hear a ton about him. Being from Ohio doesn't help. It's a big visit, and I think he's got Georgia and this past weekend, and then there's Alabama and Ohio State. And if you look at some of the Ohio State, arrival site and things like that, there's questions on what Ohio State's going to do at running back because they're in it with Jordan Davison, also from Mater Dei, like we were just talking about. How many running backs is Ohio State going to take? So there's kind of some dominoes involving Bo Jackson here, but I think he's a guy that Georgia really, really wants. I mean, Roddy, if you look at his profile again, he's got pretty good size, I believe. I don't know what we have it listed as, but
we got him on here at 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Yeah, so pretty solid size for a running back for sure. Definitely bigger than Bo Walker. So, this is a guy that Josh Crawford has. It spans – the interest spans Dale McGee and Josh Crawford. What that tells me is this is a guy that Kirby Smart really wants. So, Georgia's after, but we'll see how things go over these next couple of weeks. Obviously, Alabama's new coaching staff since over the past few months. So, it'll be interesting to see who kind of surges the top after the official visits. But, again, this is one like I guess it was David Sanders. I don't think any team necessarily feels like they're in the lead going into these official visits, and it's going to be decided here in the next few weeks.
Anybody else have any thoughts on him? Because that is I'm not saying he's an enigma, but it's just there's not a ton of a lot of schools can feel comfortable about David Sanders. Oh, yeah, we Tennessee feels good about him. Clemson feels good about him. Georgia feels good about him. Ohio State feels good about him. Nobody knows where the hell he's going. But this Bo Jackson kid's a little tougher to figure out.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say his name over and over without, Bo Jackson as a running back. It's just
PTSD for Trent.
Is there going to be another Herschel Walker come through at some point? I mean,
you can't have that. Yeah. And it's like, if Georgia gets Bo Jackson and you sign Bo Walker as well, I mean, those are two. You want to talk about the all name team at running back? That's you're not going to do any. But
it's not going to happen.
And Bo in a class every day.
Oh, wait, no, that's why it will happen. Folks, if you're new to the show, I hate puns. I do. My staff knows it is a fireable offense to put a pun in a headline or a pun in a story. But I can just see if there's two Bows on the team, there's going to be some god-awful puns and god-awful headlines. I'm going to have to fire Dash about 47 times.
They could be running behind Bo Hewley.
Yeah.
And Drew, in a couple years, Drew Bobo at center.
Something's not right.
God damn it, it's gonna happen, isn't it? All right, folks, you hear right here the Bo Jackson to UGA and Roddy's retiring as soon as he arrives on campus. He's out. A kid that we do get to talk to a lot and we know a lot about. We mentioned him earlier in the show, Zaire Addison. Great offensive tackle, long-armed. Not the tallest kid out there, but probably one of the most athletic I've seen in my 30-plus years of covering football. Kid can fly. Second visit to Athens, only his second time in Athens. He came up and camped, and he was small. He was little. Now he's back in Athens, 40 pounds heavier, and the coaches are salivating over this kid. So thoughts on Zaire Addison's weekend?
I think spoke to Zaire Addison today, and I think it definitely helped. I believe he visited Kirby Smart's house twice. I don't know if every kid got to do that, but I think he got. That was
the one that's being sold, or the.
We didn't. I forgot to ask him that. I wish I would have. He would have elaborated on that. I think he left kind of blown away just with the Well, when I talked to him last week, before I wrote the story on Friday, we released Saturday morning, but he wants consistency, and he called Georgia the best program in the country like three or four times in the interview. He said it again today. But he wants consistency, and I believe that he did a private workout with Stacy Searles when Searles went down to the Tampa area, and went and visited him at his school. And he said, you know, that was one of the first, you know, I think that may have been the first time that he had actually met Stacy Searles in person. And he absolutely enjoyed talking with him. They chopped it up. And then he said, you know, this past weekend was more of, you know, he got to spend more time with Kirby. And I think Kirby's just, can't speak for him myself, but I think Kirby's just probably smiling ear to ear when he sees a guy like Zaire Addison walk on campus. And, you know, this is a kid that plays tackle in high school, but he's told me that he could play, that college coaches are telling him that he could play all five on the offensive line if he, you know, wherever he
sees it. Play quarterback, man.
Yeah. He is athletic.
Addison and David Sanders together is the most athletic duo in a class that I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, you could literally line them up and have them eligible receivers and run them like a tight end. Both of them.
Yes, yes. I didn't even think about that. We got to do a story about that. Then add in Justice Terry and maybe Isaiah Gibson or Elijah Griffin. Can you imagine that group going head-to-head for three or four years?
That's nuts.
I mean, he's one of those. This is one of those kids that I think they call, you know, a Swiss Army knife, and for good reason.
We need to get Chris Hayes, Coach Hayes, on there and say, "Hey, I do a little video clip of Zaire, Sanders, Griffin, Gibson, and Justice Terry." Battle Royale.
Let's just put them on the same side and run those little wide receiver screens you like to do and just watch them get out there and just kill folks. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Dude, I got to call Coach Don and say, hey, how would this turn out? He's I can hear him smiling now. He ain't even watching the show, and I know he's smiling just thinking about it. I turn our attention to Isaiah Gibson. His name was invoked, so we got to mention him. Somebody went to see him today.
Yeah, sort of. that was a – if anybody
– Hey, there will be a story on the front page of UGASports.com about Isaiah Gibson after
his – If anybody weekend. Saw a Corolla circling Warner Robins High School today for about 3 hours, that was probably me.
It's probably you have a Netflix movie about you one day.
Yeah.
a Lifetime movie.
Throwing stuff on the Braves while I was leaving the eighth inning while I'm sitting in my car. But anyway – when I did talk to Isaiah Gibson, he said, you know, this was his first visit back as a USC commit. And Lance, you had a story on him a couple weeks ago. And he's like, yeah, Kirby was the first coach to text me. They're not going away. And I said, I asked him, how does Georgia try to get you to flip without trying to get you to flip? Because you talk to all these guys, like, there's no pressure to flip. They're not all over you about it. And he said, the coaches are just original. I'm like, well, what does that mean? And he said, they just try to be who they are. They don't try to act like anything. They don't try to put on any kind of show. They just act like who they are. And he said, he spent a ton of time with Shedeur Uzodiribe outside the scavenger hunt. He's like, I couldn't even tell you how long we spent in his office, but we were just in there talking about football, talking about all kind of other stuff. Georgia wants him as the Michael Williams role, I guess, Jack linebacker, which Lance, I think you talked to him. He's a little bit heftier than 240 now.
He's got to be.
So, you know, bulk up a little bit over the next 9 months or so, and you're right there. So, I mean, Trent, I know you did too. Based on people I talked to this weekend, I would be, for starters, I would be stunned if he ended up at USC. I just don't see any way he ends up there. Georgia's in, I think, the best spot of any of the other contenders. I mean, I think he likes Oklahoma a lot. He's mentioned Oklahoma going back to January. He said he might visit Tennessee this weekend, but there's just kind of a lot of schools floating around out there. But I think Georgia was a school that you looked at before the commitment as they were in pretty good shape. And I think now Georgia's starting to kind of surge back to the forefront a little bit. He did say, I asked him, I was like, do you have a timeline of when you want to have things done by one way or the other? He said, I'm willing to go all the way to signing day. So this isn't a recruitment that's got a expiration date on it, I guess. So it's going to be a battle for the next, 7 months? But, Trent, I know you do too, but I like where Georgia's at in this one.
I think you saying this is going to be a battle on Sunday is similar to what Justice Terry says. It's exactly the way Georgia wants it.
Mm-hmm.
They want it. They don't want to necessarily say, I don't care about having your commitment now. I want this to go to signing day. And, you know, that gives Georgia the best opportunity to land a signature. It's an in-state kid. They can see him more often. They can have him on campus more often. They can get him on campus this fall. He's not going all the way across the country to USC every weekend to all their home games. This is similar. You know, it's happened with several prospects in the last couple of years. Continue building their relationship. How the seasons end up, which if it's anything like the past couple of years, Georgia's going to be sitting in an okay position come December. I can't say the same about USC. I mean, at this time, it's hard to see what they're going to be like come December with moving to the Big Ten. You've got to like, Georgia's coaches, their philosophy behind this and saying, hey, we're not going away. We're not going to push you to recommit. We're not going to push you to commit or flip your commitment, but we're not going away.
Well, and if we're talking about how seasons go, I mean, if you look at Mike Hill Williams, does he have a huge year with playing this Jaguar, which versus USC? I don't know what USC's defensive roster looks like, what system they run, whatever. But I think of USC's defense, I'm like, okay, I feel like off the top of my head that Mike Hill Williams is probably going to have a better year than what USC might have at defensive end, outside linebacker, whatever. So you can point to it and say, hey, we want you to come play this position. And Mike Hill has, I don't know, I mean, does say he cracks that 10 sack mark. Hey, come here and be the next double-digit sack guy for us. So,
And you also just look at mock drafts. I mean, yeah. Look, Mike Hill's right here. Look, Mike Hill's right here. He's going to be a top five pick come next year. And then this is after Trayvon. This is after those edge guys that they put in. So I think you have a lot going for you. In your favor. You mentioned USC. I don't know what defense, I know they hired UCLA's coordinator, but they've just played two in touch the last couple of years, so I don't know what they got coming.
Oh, damn, catch a shrapnel over here. They do have a very good defensive line coach, and that's why Justice Terry flipped, was mainly because of that guy. And I did see them visiting Justice Terry, so they are doing work in the state. They are flying out as much as they possibly can, and maybe a little bit more. That's between them and NCAA. I'm not going to get into that and make any accusations. I'm just saying that you are right in that Georgia coaches can swing by a whole lot more, man. You could just have them within the NCAA legally allowed visits windows, but it's not far for him to make it up to Athens, as Jed can attest.
Mm-hmm.
Good update coming. That was a free preview for a lot of people that are not subscribed to UGAsports.com. You got some behind the scenes info there from Jed.
Spent a lot of time in a Warner Robins parking lot to bring y'all that story. So
yeah, we can tell by the hair.
Better read it.
Another guy that was in town, kind of that outside edge player, Zayden Walker, absolute freak. One of the top players in the nation, number 26 nationally, number 2 in his position, out of Ellaville, Georgia, Schley County. Give me your thoughts on Zayden Walker, guys.
Did they push out some linebackers down there?
Yeah, they do. Freaking
do. Yeah, and I mean, speaking of down, I mean, it's been a while since you told me this, but he's kind of like the Quay Walker comp is what Glenn Schumann has told us. So he's, 6'3", 220 pounds, so he's that big thumper in the middle. He's really athletic. I mean, he plays – running back for Schley County as well. So this is, I mentioned at the top of the show, Zayden is a guy that I feel like Georgia has led for a while. That relationship with Glenn Schumann is just has been so strong. And there's other schools that have kind of floated around, like Florida State, Florida, South Carolina because his brother Julius Solomon is there. And you can't discount that, but I just think it's always kind of been Georgia at the top, and I think this weekend reinforced it. And he's coming. He's another one of these guys that's coming on his official visit May 31st through June 2nd. So I think Georgia's got a big chance to kind of put the final nails in the coffin over these next 2 or 3 weeks and make that lead insurmountable. I'm picking Georgia here, Trent. I know you think you put in a future cast for him today, right?
Yeah, I just think, you know, Georgia has built.
Wait, you're supposed to do that on the show, Trent. You know this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can tell them on the show. I mean, I think Georgia's, you know, we talk about relationships. You talk about there's one thing about Georgia is Schumann's been there throughout this whole kid's high school career. And I think that's a big thing. Schumann's always has been recruiting him for a while. The relationship's built there with him and his family. And I think he just likes the way Georgia, you know, plays the game on defense. You know, how he would be used, how he would how Georgia uses those inside linebackers and how they move those inside linebackers around, lets them blitz and do all sorts of things. So I think he really likes how he would be used in the offense and you know, the relationships there as well. So I think there's a lot in Georgia's favor and has been for some time.
I hope Georgia lines him up at running back like we're watching right now on screen.
Just absolute freak.
That's just filthy.
You can imagine there were Sean Evans vibes. You could play him multiple spots all over the field in his speed and size combo. I mean, that's just crazy. That cut. Just one touchdown.
I'm just thinking, oh, that poor quarterback. That kid needs a new hip. All right, so let me get out of that one real quick. Mitch and Zayden. Real quick on the Travis Smith, bro. I want to talk about the wide receivers that were in town simply because we talked defense. We talked about the two California receivers that were in town. In the comments section there, somebody saw that Trent very slyly and sneakily slid in. Oh, yeah, when they signed Travis Smith and C.J. Wiley, almost as if it was a done deal. But these are two of the most hotly contested wide receiver recruits in the state of Georgia. They're very highly coveted. We got to update. It'll be first thing. It'll be published first thing in the morning on Travis Smith. Jed, Trent, Lance, give me your thoughts on Travis Smith, then we'll move on to C.J. Wiley, the last two guys on the show.
I feel like Travis Smith, if he doesn't end up at Georgia, I don't know what happened. Okay. Spoke to him. I mean, straight up. I mean, I spoke to him. I believe at a 7-on-7 camp a couple months ago, and he was playing with Ethan Barbour, the tight end commit. They were both playing on California Power, and this is literally all he talked about was just how James Coley, you know, he was one of the first ones. I mean, I've talked to a few of these kids that, you know, James Coley was like right when he got hired, right after Georgia announced it, the news broke. He was one of the ones that you know, was texted. I don't know who Coley texted first. But, you know, Coley texted this kid within, you know, a few hours. And, you know, he's been back to Georgia, I think, like twice since. Jed would have to maybe fact check that. But, I mean, this is one of those guys that, you know, Trent was talking about last week. Georgia's been going, you know, after, you know, the 6-foot, you know, 195-pound guy. This kid's 6'3". And, you know, he's different on the football field. And he's very athletic. And, you know, he's one of the top receivers in the state for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, he visited for a practice, visited for G-Day, visited for the scavenger hunt, and will be back for his official visit in 2 weeks. But, you know, I talked to him today, and the thing he kind of – that stuck out most to him was James Coley laid out the plan for him if he were to come to Athens, and that plan involves Trent, like kind of like you were talking about earlier with what George is looking for. Georgia sees Travis Smith as a guy that can play all three receiver spots. And he said, that's something I haven't really done. It'll be challenging at first, but it's something I can do, and it's going to make me more versatile for the next level to get to the NFL. I mean, we heard Ladd McConkey talk about that at the combine. Roddy was playing different spots, increases your draft value. That's kind of the pitch to Travis Smith. So, yeah, like you said, Lance, I I would be surprised if he doesn't end up in Georgia's class. I think Tennessee is probably the main competition. And those are the bookend official visits. Georgia gets the first one. Tennessee gets the last one. He told me today he's committing on July 13th. So more or less, I guess it's probably about 3 weeks after that Tennessee official visit. But yeah, I and you know, Ethan Barbour, Travis Smith, and C.J. Wiley are all fairly close, and I think there's a pretty good chance all three of those guys end up in the class.
Yeah, and two of them might or might not be recruiting another one to come with them. So it's there's definitely talk between the three of them up in Athens, and I think, you know, already having one on the commit list, like Jed and Lance said, I would be. It would be hard to pick the field in this one. I mean, Georgia has been there the longest. Georgia's built the relationship. I just think Travis Smith would, you know, I got my future cast in, forecast. You might want to go ahead and put yours in, Roddy, but I think it'd be hard for Georgia to mess this one up at this point.
I'm going to get peer pressured into it after the way you guys talk. And if y'all are wrong,
I mean, there was a window when, because it was right when the Under Armour camp in Atlanta was, and it was right after McClendon had left, and he was like, "Yeah, that really hurt." You know, that I was really close with BMAC, everything like that, and that was the window for teams to get in. And James Coley got in, and like you said, Lance did a great job of bridging that gap, and I think it's. That was the only concern, would be how would he like Georgia's new receivers coach. And I think the relationship with James Coley is just, you know, hit the ground running. And I think that's about going to do it from a Georgia standpoint.
This is the reason why I get a future cast in early, because if something crazy happened like KJ Bowen last year and he went somewhere else, but you still have that feeling that he's going to end up at Georgia in the end, you can't worry about it. It's going to be right at the end.
All right, so I'm making my future cast now for Travis Smith. And to what you mentioned earlier, yeah, I know when James Coley was announced, I saw so many people kind of as the new wide receivers coach, a lot of people, Coley, offense, blah, 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 play call. And I'm like, I don't give a rat's back end about him as a former offensive coordinator, although I will say he had no wide receivers the year that he was Georgia's offensive coordinator. Yeah. I don't care who you name the coach, the offensive coordinator, and you basically tell him all you can do is run the ball and see what you can do, and he's going to have a hard time. So, again, I'm not trying to defend Coley, but I'm just saying when I found out that he was going to be recruiting Georgia's wide receivers, I'm like, well, wide receiver recruiting is going to be pretty bloody good going forward. And sure enough, there was that. You know, Clendon's gone, but BMAC is a heck of a recruiter. People love him. But if you had to replace that guy, you replace him with a known quantity in Travis Smith. I mean, you saw that guy's coming in from California. He's all over Miami. And Travis Smith will be a dog to our best of our knowledge. All right, let's switch gears to the other guy, this trio that you were talking about, C.J. Wiley. Now, I know y'all aren't going to be throwing in future cast right now for C.J. Wiley, are you?
I just did.
Oh, no, never mind.
I just did. No, seriously.
Scroll down.
You got to do that live. Share your screen. You got to back it up. Put it up.
Shoot. Well, this is one of those other kids that I talked to at that camp, and Jed's talked to him multiple times. And, you know, he was another one of those that I was like, Travis said that, you know, that James Coley texted him the day he was hired. He goes, oh, yeah, no, me too. And, you know, I watched a little bit of his, we didn't get to make it to that Westlake, was it Westlake and Milton that scrimmaged this past Saturday or Friday, Jed?
Westlake and, I know Milton, no, Milton played Peachtree Ridge. I think Westlake was just like a,
I watched some of Milton's, some of that tape, and he was just burning up some of these Peachtree Ridge, DBs that have got, you know, Division I offers. And, you know, I mean, he's one of those kids that I think at the high school level, he knows how to get open, and that'll help him tremendously. Obviously, his skills will improve in college, but I mean, this is one of those kids that just creates separation and can go up and get the ball, you know, in a 50-50 situation as well.
I think with Wiley, the school that's kind of making a charge is LSU. He's got family connections there, so they have worked their way into getting an official visit. Usurped Alabama and got that visit. So, you know, Cortez Hankton's doing a great job there, a former Georgia coach, obviously, in his own right. So, I think that's the head-to-head battle. But, you know, Georgia has just been there for a long time, or not, maybe not as, you know, really, I think really picked it up over the past probably 5 or 6 months. And, you know, like you said, like he's gotten, having watched him over the past couple of years, he has gotten so much better really over the past like year to where he's just like a stud. Like, I don't know how you cover him because he's 6'4", he's 200 pounds, he's fast. I mean, he runs. Roddy, you saw him at a track meet where, you know, he's obviously runs track for Milton. So, and you ain't got to be that fast at that height to make yourself a huge weapon. So, you know, a stud for sure. Georgia wants him really bad. And I feel better about Travis Smith than CJ Wiley probably, but I still think Georgia is in the pole position for Wiley.
Some Fred Gibson vibes with CJ Wiley.
Think he wears 82.
That just
well, tall, mean, he wears deep. 4 for Milton, and 8 divided by 2 is 4. So
it's good math.
There you go.
What kind of math did you just do? What'd you say?
Yeah, I don't get.
Yeah, 8 divided by 2 is 4.
Yeah, that's his number right now.
Yeah, at Milton.
82 was Fred Gibson's number, so there you go. He's destined to wear 82.
Yeah. Y'all had me thinking my math was wrong. Like, I know I had done
that. Is going on here.
Clearly to God, I didn't mess that up. Like the big guy who also has enough speed, not Arian Smith speed, but enough speed to create separation, to track the ball, to go up and get it. He's a complete package and plays big, as big boy football as you're going to get in Georgia playing up there at Milton too.
I think the Fred Gibson is a great comparison, although he's probably bigger. I mean, through the chest and arms, I mean, it was kind of skinny.
Yeah, I still think he's, you know, he's very, he's not like your, I thought, you know, like the AJ Green, AJ Green was tiny, his dang skinny ankles, but just remember Fred Gibson just looking so long and lanky and being able to, you know, be a deep threat. I think CJ Wiley can be a deep threat. I think he can be a possession guy as well. I see why Georgia could have some success with these guys because Georgia doesn't have guys like this. I mean, Georgia doesn't – they've had to go to the transfer portal for a guy like this. And you know, you look back at the past couple of classes and, you know, I think Georgia landed
– Well, they had one, Tyler Williams.
Tyler Williams, but he's – is he still there? I mean, did he transfer
out? He's not.
And I think – because there was a question about Travis Smith's track times in the vault too, and I think – nowadays, like I wouldn't, if Georgia's after a guy, I would say he's fast enough because the way Georgia uses those guys, obviously you got to play receiver, but they use those receivers so much as like gunners on punts or kickoff coverage. Like you got to be able to run. So I think if Georgia has signed or, you know, if James Coley's going to sign off on a guy, he's got at least enough speed to be effective at the receiver position and also, you know, be effective on those special teams. Yeah,
I can assure you that Georgia's got a verified time of what he run, because there's been way too many times in the past couple of years that we knew Georgia was backing off somebody because he might have been a Rivals 100 kid backing off of him because of a time running, and you got to have a time. I mean, you got to be able to run play at Georgia. And if you're a defensive back, you're a wide receiver, you're a linebacker. I mean, you got to be able to run. And nowadays, it's defensive lineman. But you got to be able to run. And so
you're absolutely right. We've seen Georgia back off some, and again, they have their standards. We want this height, we want this speed, we want this weight, we want this size, we want this GPA, you know, and they only make an exception for exceptional players. So we're going to take somebody who doesn't match that criteria. You're right. But I think when CJ Wiley looks over the list of players at Georgia, like, yeah, they don't have one of those. Same with Travis Smith. Like, we can come in and not going to be the Twin Towers, but they could be some just different makers. And I'm watching the clips of CJ moving down the field. I mean, he's out there running track. That's good enough for me. All right. Anybody else we need to touch on or call that a night?
I did go visit another inside linebacker on – I had a busy last Thursday. Drove from Athens to Jessup and back with a stop in Vidalia on the way and went to go see Tavian Wallace, another inside linebacker that Georgia's pretty high on. I think he's committing July 15th. And when I went down there, guess who was down there? Glenn Schumann, out of all people. And Wallace is just one of those kids. Well, Roddy, you want me to try to share screen? Tavian.
Yeah, let me bring him up real quick. I had on the screen there was Lance McCurley's forecast there, future cast for CJ Wiley. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Those two guys are kind of like your – talk about Zayden earlier, talk about Tavian now. It's kind of like your Roquan type kid and then your Way Walker type kid. I mean, two different kind of positions, but in both at middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good Georgia talent, man.
Yeah, and Tavian said that, you know, when I talked to him at the Rivals camp, he said that, you know, they compare him to Roquan. You know, he loves that comparison because I got to watch him down at Wayne County go one-on-ones, and, man, he was just all over the field. They lined him up in the interior, exterior, and he was just kind of sideline to sideline, and that's exactly what Roquan was like. And he's probably 6'1", maybe around 215 now, I think is what he told me. But, I mean, he's long. He's got a big wingspan. And, you know, Glenn Schumann doesn't go and visit, you know, every kid they have on the board outside linebacker. So, yeah, here we go. For those that are watching with this clip, I mean, just coming in.
Triple team gets a sack, gets a tackle for loss.
What this board is telling me is we are going to be watching a lot of football games in South Georgia this fall, and that is going to be awesome.
Jed is going to he wants to go to Warner Robins at least.
I would not be going to Warner Robins. I will say though, their stadium looked really nice. They even have a press box, like a real full on press box in their stadium. Look really.
They're redoing the turf there too.
Yeah, it looked really nice. They got a sweet gym too. You know, I sat and stared at it for a while, and it was really nice.
I got a good
you had heat stroke, man. Come on.
Before we go, Roddy, I do want to mention one offer that went out tonight: 25 defensive back, Shamar Arnaud. Let me pull him up. So he's a guy. He actually was at Milton with CJ Wiley for a while, and now he is at Carrollton. And he visited, you know, for those of you who've been kind of following through the spring, he decommitted from Tennessee while on a Georgia visit in February. Visited again for G-Day, and you know, Tavares Robinson visited him for a spring practice, and lo and behold, he ends up with an offer. So, but a guy visits Georgia twice that close together before he even has an offer, yeah, that tells me there's some extreme interest there. So especially with the cornerback board, especially is kind of just like a, you don't really know how it's going to shake out. Shamar Arnaud would be one that I would keep an eye on, because he's clearly got a lot of interest in playing in Athens.
But this goes about what Trent was saying. They have a time on every guy. I don't care how big you are. When you come to Georgia on one of those visits, at some point they want to get a ruler to you, a scale underneath you, and they want to get a stopwatch out and see what you can do. Shamar comes on a visit, decommits from Tennessee. We spoke to him. I spoke to him in that camp as well. And I'm like, you know, what would an offer mean? He's like, that would be big, man. That would be huge. Georgia's one of the teams up there. It's He was had a little back and forth with some of the other guys that were, you know, on the Carrollton team.
Was it Shamar Arnaud who told you like he had a top four and Georgia was in it and they were the only one who hadn't offered? Was that him?
That was true. Yeah. But I said, so, you know, why all the focus? You've got ton of other offers. We got him for listed at 25, but he's got 30. Some of the smaller schools aren't listed on there. He goes, they want to see me in spring. So,
and they did. They got to check the
box. We went and watched him practice. We saw him run around. And the minute they saw him, boom, he's got the offer. And now George is top four. And I could definitely see that kid.
He intercepted Juju, didn't he?
That alone is enough to get you a Georgia offer.
Yeah.
It was funny, though. Juju was the one saying, I don't F with Georgia. You know, so we knew kind of Juju was out. And he's like, why? I mean, just like incredulous. What are you insane? Like, Georgia's the place, you know. So, like Shamar, and I'm glad you brought him up. I'm glad to see that kid get an offer. He was a great interview, very nice to talk to. And I think that Georgia could – that would be a good match if they could get him. And, yeah, they need some cornerbacks. We do have one question on here. We'll end it with this one from Casey Melton. Says, what about the Lee County running back, Chroma?
Yeah, Georgia is – very much in it with Uzmani Chroma. You know, Josh Crawford has got Georgia surging up the list. He was on an official visit to Auburn this past weekend. Actually, Caleb from our Auburn site sent me a text about him over the weekend. Caleb said Auburn is in the top four, so reading the tea leaves, it would seem like Auburn, Florida State, Georgia, and maybe Florida. So the Georgia official visit is June. Right now it's set for June 21st through 23rd. So the way it's kind of shaken out for Josh Crawford is every running back is going to have a weekend, because Bo Walker's got May 31st through June 2nd. Todd Robinson, who is an athlete but maybe a running back the weekend after that, June 14th through 16th is Jamarian Morrow out of Tennessee. And then 21st through 23rd is Uzmani Chroma. And then obviously Bo Jackson had his this weekend. So every running back is going to get their one weekend kind of in the sun as far as an official visit goes. But, yeah, Georgia's very much in it with Chroma. I would assume that that's his last official visit unless he's going to take some in the fall. So we'll see. He's a guy I like a lot. I saw him play Colquitt County last year, and he was very impressive. So we'll see.
And if you can mix it up with Colquitt County, then you can pound it with some of the big boys. So that's a good one. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We appreciate it. It means a lot that you folks tune in. If you would, hit the like button there. It does help us out, or leave a comment. That also helps us out. And ideally, I'd like to get some folks to give us a review on Apple, if you would. So if you're listening to the Apple podcast, go in there and give us a review. We greatly appreciate it. And we will see you next week with more updates. Take care.